Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and direct your attention to verse 12 and verse 13. This is how the Word of God thus read. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. This morning, I want to use these two verses right here to speak on the topic, let it go. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do give praise and glory to thy holy name. We now pray, Father, that thou will now consecrate this time. May it be to the glory of thy name. But Lord, I pray that both the declaration as well as the hearing of thy word will indeed be blessed. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It was a movie with an uplifting and redemptive storyline. A young man who was once an armed robber and a rapist came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, turned his life around, and over time he became a youth pastor. Then through a series of events, he met one of his victims, a young lady was experiencing severe mental and emotional trauma because of the pain inflicted upon her by this reformed young pastor years earlier when he actually robbed her, sexually assaulted her, and shot her. Fortunately, she survived. Now face to face, he was extremely remorseful, and he pleaded passionately for the young lady to forgive him. You know, as my family and I watched this movie, it was at this point that a discussion ensued. And the discussion actually centered around one question. When a person willfully destroys another person's life by inflicting pain upon them, has that perpetrator of such evil forfeited the right to be forgiven? You know, while this question might sound like an abstract, in reality, it is a question that often weighs on the minds of people when it comes to the topic of forgiveness. When Amber Geiger, a Dallas police officer who entered the wrong apartment and fatally shot Bolton Jane, the legitimate occupant of that apartment, when she was found guilty of murder, and at her sentencing, Brand Jane, the victim's brother, publicly stated that he forgave her and went ahead and embraced her. His statement and gesture of love was not applauded by everybody. There were some people who felt that the appropriate reaction should have been anger and a cry for retribution because she had forfeited the right to be forgiven. In case you don't know this, this mindset, I believe, is at the root of most instances of unforgiveness. Because those who struggle with unforgiveness, whether they realize it or not, in their minds, there is this understanding of this mindset that the person who inflicted such pain upon them has forfeited his or her own right to be forgiven. While such mindset might seem logical to many in our world, for Christians, such mindset is unacceptable. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly reminded us both in his words and his life that forgiveness is not optional, but a necessity for discipleship. Again, I need to repeat that. That forgiveness is not optional, but a necessity for discipleship. And the Apostle Paul beautifully captures our forgiveness is a necessity for discipleship when he wrote these words. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should forgive. I believe here the Apostle Paul connects the notion of discipleship to the topic of forgiveness. That as those of us who have been chosen by God, we have a mandate. And the mandate is to forgive. And I truly believe that is a necessity for discipleship. So this morning, using this instruction by the Apostle Paul as a template, I want to call your attention to this indispensable necessity of discipleship. Forgiveness. And I don't have to be a prophet this morning to know that some of you are right there where I'm talking to because you're struggling with unforgiveness. Now, one of those Christianized words that we often throw around and we don't kind of pause to know what it means, I believe, is forgiveness. So let me begin this morning by first going to the definition. What does the Bible mean when it says forgive? Grammatically, in the Old Testament Hebrew, the word nasa is the word translated to forgive, which simply means to lift off or to carry off or to take away. In essence, when God forgives, he takes away our sin as someone takes a load off your shoulder, hereby freeing you or releasing you from the burden of that load. That's the implication. In the New Testament Greek, the word aphemi is the word that is translated to forgive. And literally, this word means to let go or to let off or to keep no longer. So based on these two translations, I want to give you a working definition this morning of forgiveness. Forgiveness can be defined as the conscious and intentional act of the human will, whereby a victim of an offense releases the offender from the obligation of that offense they committed. Let me repeat that so you can write it down. It is the conscious and intentional act of the human will whereby a victim of an offense releases the offender from the obligation of that offense that he or she committed. Now, I want you to pay attention to that definition. There are two key phrases I want you to key in on. The first phrase has to do with the act of the will, of the human will. You know, forgiveness is not emotional. Since our emotions tend to vacillate, when forgiveness is based solely on emotion, we will always vacillate in the way we feel when it comes to forgiveness. Rather, I believe forgiveness in the biblical sense is an intentional act of the will that we make up our mind and have a settled mind that regardless of how we feel, we forgive this person. Oh yes, the offense might still come to our minds, but there must be a resolute. There must be an intentional act of the will that we say to ourselves, yes, I still have this understanding that somewhere this person have offended me, but I have made up my mind to forgive, and I'm not going back on that notion of forgiveness. It's the act of the human will. And you and I must have to understand that when we begin to go into the stage of forgiveness, that it mustn't be emotional, but it must be the act of your will as a person, and it must be conscious and intentional. The second phrase I want you to pay attention in this definition is the phrase release from the obligation. You know, when a person offends you and I, we naturally hold them in contempt. In essence, we place them in an emotional prison. And our anger, our bitterness, our resentment becomes our weapon of torture. It is this emotional imprisonment that we have to release them from. We have to release them from that emotional imprisonment. We have to say at this point on the understanding of that conscious, intentional act of the will that I'm going to release this person from the burden, from the obligation of the offense that they've committed against me. I'm going to say to them, get out of that prison that I've intentionally placed you in my own heart. And I truly believe that when you release the person from that prison, you are actually releasing yourself. Because usually, when you are in, when someone is imprisoned emotionally, you that have imprisoned such a person are also going to be imprisoned because you are still angry, resentful, and bitter. But the moment you release them from that obligation, you release yourself from that bitterness and that anger. Now, it is obvious that our Lord Jesus is concerned about forgiveness. That is why the Lord Jesus, when he began to teach on the Sermon on the Mount, began to give what I call the kingdom principles. He now emphasized the notion of forgiveness. Now, I want you to pay attention to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, our Lord Jesus will say, if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgression. This is when the Lord Jesus was teaching us how to pray. The reason I believe the Lord Jesus connects forgiveness in this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount to be able to emphasize to us that are kingdom citizens, that as disciples of the Lord Jesus, we must understand that forgiveness can never be optional. That we must understand that forgiveness is a necessity. Now, based on that, we can now say to ourselves, listen now, so why is this such a necessity for discipleship? Let me give you two reasons why I believe the Lord Jesus was emphatic about the notion of forgiveness in the life of his people. This is the reason. First of all, unforgiveness violates the core essence of God. You want to write that down. Unforgiveness violates the core essence of God. In Exodus chapter 33, in verse 18, Moses prayed. He said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. Then we go forward in Exodus chapter, in the same verse, Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. What Moses was asking God for here, show me your glory, is, Lord, I want to see your essence. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to experience you in that personal essence of thine. Then the Lord responded to Moses. He said, I myself will make my goodness pass before you and proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show compassion to whom I'll show compassion. Again, I want you to pay attention to the response of God. The glory that Moses was asking for, God now says, I will make my goodness pass by you. In essence, the glory of God is now being equated to his goodness. So if you were to ask me, what is the core essence of God? If that is even a possible answer or possible question, I will say it's goodness. You see, it's from the goodness of God that comes his love. From the goodness of God comes his mercy. From the goodness of God comes his compassion, comes his grace, comes his faithfulness, comes his long-suffering. So you can see what emulates from his goodness. But when we, his creature, now harbors all kinds of unforgiveness, we are actually violating that call of his essence, which is his goodness. What we are essentially saying is that God, great that you are good. But as for me, I am going to be resentful, I'm going to be hateful, I'm going to be unforgiving. And this is how you're going to think about it. If God, who has every right to be very angry and judge you instantly for every sin that you have committed, if God will show his goodness towards you in his mercy, in his grace, in his compassion, then what about you as his own creature? What about you as his disciple? What about you that have been chosen of God? You that God has elected before the foundation of the earth. What about you? How are you now to respond to your fellow brother, to your fellow sister? You see, this is why it violates the core essence of God's goodness. Because when we are unforgiving, it is always indicative of bitterness, of resentment, of anger. We are saying we don't want to mimic God in his goodness. We want to be angry and resentful. And this is why the Lord Jesus says to us here that discipleship, necessity of discipleship is forgiveness. But that's not the only reason. Unforgiveness destroys everything that's good about us as a believer, as us, as a church. Now, you know, love and peace, I believe, is the yearning of every human heart. Every one of us want to love and want to be loved. And all of us want peace. You know, where those two exist, our fellowship, our coming together reflects the glory of God. It reveals all that is good about us. But when this too does not exist, when unforgiveness sets in, unforgiveness will destroy love and it will destroy peace. The reason we have conflict in many of our churches, the reason that we can't get along, that we have resentful feelings towards each other, is because of this. And every time you find those kind of mindset in the Church of Jesus Christ, even in a Christian home, every time there is resentment, every time there is anger, every time there is bitterness, you cannot find cohesiveness. You cannot find love. It destroys everything that is good about us. It destroys that which is meant to reveal the glory of God among us. That is why the Lord Jesus will remind us in John chapter 13. He said, by this men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. But we can only love one another if we are forgiving, forbearing, if we are compassionate, if we are gentle towards one another. But if we are unforgiving, if we choose that we're going to go our way, then that means that the love of Christ that is meant to be revealed, that which is meant to reveal the best among us, will now be darkened because of unforgiveness. Those are the reasons why the Lord Jesus will connect discipleship with forgiveness. And he's reminding us here that one of the necessity of discipleship is forgiveness. For you to be a disciple of Jesus, For you to say you're a disciple of Jesus, you must hold on and you must walk in forgiveness. Just as Jesus forgave us, we must forgive each other. But I need to be honest with you. Forgiveness at times is a struggle. And I know for some of you listening to me this morning, you say, yes, Pastor Wally, I hear you, but I don't feel you here. Because like Peter, we also want to put a limit to forgiveness. We want to say, you know, Pastor, how can they keep doing the same thing? Should I forgive, Pastor? Can they forfeit the right to be forgiven? And I think our struggle is well documented. But this morning, I need to remind you that the Bible tells us how we can cultivate a forgiven spirit. How we can cultivate a forgiven spirit. And this is what is going to actually bring me to Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, we're told of an instance when Peter, in verse 21, asked the Lord Jesus, said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Again, you can watch that. Because Peter is assuming there's got to be a limit to forgiveness, which was the rabbinic understanding during the time of Christ. Then the Lord Jesus will now say to Peter, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Again, I want you to watch that. It's just a number to signify the unendingness of the grace of forgiveness. And this is what the Lord Jesus now does. He now goes ahead to give a parable. He said, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded that it be sold. And repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. Then watch verse 27. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. The first way for you and I to cultivate the spirit of forgiveness, we must always pray for God to give us a heart of compassion. I want you to pay attention to that. We got to pray for God to give us a heart of compassion. That is what the Apostle Paul even said to us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He said, put on a heart of compassion. You know, when we put on the heart of compassion, when we begin to put on the heart of compassion, forgiveness will come much easier to us. Now, I'm not saying that forgiveness will be a slam dunk. I'm saying that forgiveness will come much easier to us. And the notion is this. There is a correlation between compassion and forgiveness. You know, although forgiveness is the act of the will, it is not an act that is devoid of compassion. You know, forgiveness will come easier to you when you are able to have compassion. And I know you probably said to me, listen, Pastor Wally, this is strange because here is a person that betrayed my trust. Here is a person who abandoned me when I needed him the most. Here is a person who abused me. And you are asking me to have compassion upon them? Absolutely. I'm asking you this morning to experience, to have compassion, because it's the compassion that's able to make your heart tender so that you can be able to reach out in a attitude of forgiveness to that person. And it has to come by you praying that God gives it to you. In other words, you got to seek the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus and you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, He has the power to give you the grace for you to be able to have a heart of compassion towards those that have done you wrong, that you can say, rather than avenge myself, or rather than avenge myself, I can say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay and turn them over to the Lord. But my cause, my point, what I'm called to do is to forgive them, and I must seek that heart of compassion to forgive them. Interestingly, when you pay attention to this same parable the Lord Jesus gave us, because after that slave was actually forgiven by the king, he actually went out, verse 31, and when he saw a fellow slave who actually on him, who owe him a few amount of denarii, we're told that he saw him, and when he saw him, he actually grabbed him by the neck and tried to choke him. And that person also asked the same thing of him. He said, have patience with me and I will repay you. But verse 30, we're told that he was unwilling and went ahead and threw him in prison until he should repay what was owed. Why did he do that? Because he had no heart of compassion. The slave that was just released of so much debt, he saw his fellow slave that owed him a few amount of dollars, and he did not have a heart of compassion. And he went ahead and threw him in prison. And what the Lord Jesus is trying to capture here is very simple. To cultivate a forgiven spirit, you have to pray for God to grant you a heart of compassion. And I know I'm speaking to people here who feel justified in your anger. You feel justified in your resentment. You feel that this person has turned my life around because their action has damaged my life. But I'm here to tell you this morning, praying for God to give you a heart of compassion, that you can look at that person and feel empathy for them, feel compassion. And I truly believe in you doing that, that will give you the grace to be able to say, I release you, I forgive you. There's a second point here I don't want you to miss still in this parable. Because after this slave that was released of so much debt went to his fellow slave and he imprisoned his fellow slave, we're told that when the Lord, who was the king, actually heard about what happened, he summoned the slave that he released of so much debt. And he said to him, you wicked slave, I forgive you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Here is the second thing I want you to know. How to cultivate a forgiving spirit. You must always view every offense committed against you from the viewpoint of the mercy that you receive from God. You want to write that down. You must always endeavor to view every offense committed against you from the lenses of God's mercy, in terms of the mercy you receive from God. And this is what the Lord Jesus is trying to tell the slave, this parable, that this slave did not look through the lenses of the forgiveness that he received. And he said to the slave, he said, should you not have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way, in essence, look through the lenses of the mercy that I've extended to you. And this morning, I'm here to tender to you that the Lord extends to us mercy upon mercy every second of every day. Mercy upon mercy, forgiveness upon forgiveness every second of the day. And if God, who is justified, who has every right to inflict judgment and to declare and pronounce judgment on you, will choose to extend forgiveness to you, and you, your fellow brothers, your fellow sisters, don't they deserve the same thing? Don't they deserve the same thing? The same mercy God has given to you, you are meant to show it to the other person. The same favor God has shown to you, you are meant to show it to the other person. And I truly believe this is why many of us struggle, because we don't view every offense that people commit from the lenses of God's mercy. In terms of the offense we commit against God and the grace that God continues to give to each one of us. And this morning I'm here to tender to you that if you as a believer will choose to be unforgiven, will choose to be resentful, you are going to shut down that mercy that ought to come to you from God. Because the Lord Jesus will conclude here in this parable. He said, my heavenly Father will do also the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. In other words, God wants you and I to forgive. Forgiveness is that necessity of discipleship. You can say to me, listen, I'm gifted as a singer in the church. I'm gifted as a preacher. And you're still holding a grudge within you. You are going to block your own blessing. And I'm tendering to you this morning in closing, unforgiveness is an obstacle to experiencing God's blessing. This is because God is never pleased with a person who has an unforgiving heart. And if there is one thing today that you and I really need to look into, is to let go of that pain, let go of that person, let go of that spouse, let go of that person, let it go. Turn them over to God. You forgive them and watch God bless your life. Forgive them and watch God move supernaturally in your experience. I just stopped by this morning to call you and to call you as a believer in the Lord Jesus to understand your responsibility that you have been called to forgive no matter the offense. In God's economy, no person can ever forfeit. On the human standard, nobody can forfeit the right to be forgiven. We can't say that. We must forgive. Oh, Father and our God, I now commit this time of teaching into thy hands. Father, be thou glorified this morning. Someone that's listen this morning to this sermon. Father, I pray may thou begin to work in each one of our hearts.